Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Welcome to another episode of This Life with Dr. Drew.
Number two, Bob Forrest
here.
That's
right. That's right. And so much to talk about, my friend.
So let me tell you, I was on tour. I'm always so closely associated with you.
Yeah.
People in airports, people in restaurants, people everywhere. Because of the impact of celebrity rehab on our culture, people really want to know about you. And so I probably get asked more than anybody, what is he really like?
Huh.
And they always assume that you're the empathetic and nice. And I say, yeah, he is the most wonderful boss and he taught me so much. But what you don't know about Drew is he's one of the funniest guys and he loves having fun and he loves
comedy.
You and I
hung out with a bunch of comics. Well, no, they kind of do because of the Corolla thing.
Is comedy your favorite thing?
No.
Like of your hobbies?
No, it's something I've sort
of... You know everything about jokes and...
Because of Corolla. I spent all those years with him. I had to
He
required me to pay attention to
that. So when
you
were a kid, you weren't into comedy.
I was. I was into Richard Pryor deeply.
Oh, for sure.
Deeply. And I listen to his stuff now, and I feel like it is poetry.
It's profound,
and the language, I swear to God, will sustain itself through time. That man was a poet. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Homeric poet. The stories he told, the way he told them.
Who's like that nowadays? Louis's like that nowadays. You don't think so?
I love Louis, and I love some of our modern comics. You know, I love Amy Schumer. I'm dying to be on her show and stuff. You need a storyteller. You know, we saw Kathy Griffin the other night, and she was a little bit that way. A little bit.
She's gotten more over the years. She's never been
on
the top of my list.
Yeah,
but
more storytelling. But you need somebody who really tells epics about our lives.
Everything through comedy. I see Chris Rock as the president of the United States. He's telling us what's going on in America in each new show that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Louis telling us about our disconnect. To me, Louis is like Radiohead. Radiohead's music came along at a time where we're so emotionally disconnected from each other. That's why it clicked with the society.
Yes.
And Louis is doing that with comedy.
Yes, I agree with you.
A disconnect of humanity between each other.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And so I think comedy, arts, music, it all reflects who we are as a people.
What I find so fascinating about it today is that it's one person in front of a room. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Holding a room for hours. It's just so intense. And I don't know about you, but I have to do stuff like that out there where I consider what I'm doing a lecture.
Yeah.
But I take pages from what these guys do and try to tell stories and try to illustrate things and try to interact. And I think what they're doing in terms of making that connection with the audience is profound.
See, because what I think the people that come up to me in the airport and want to know about you, America wants like these black and white, dry solutions to emotional problems.
I know.
And they don't realize we're
way messier.
We're not the healthiest people in the world, but we're pretty fully rounded.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong with America. People are not fully rounded.
No, it's what Freud used to call, we don't just have ordinary misery anymore. Ordinary misery is what you and I get. Because life is painful. Life is messy. Relationships are difficult. But we make them insane now because all the trauma. It's just trauma.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
And the expectation I recently divorced, this year, and it was very painful and trying to do the best I can. But I had to go look for an apartment. I was like, fuck, who can afford to live here?
Well, listen, I've got kids that are just getting out into the
world.
It's crazy. And I am freaked out. I don't know how the hell they do it. That's what it's affecting my mood right now. I've been a little depressed about it because I'm like,
how
worried
do you make
for them.
It in life?
I don't know. I just told them both a couple of the other day. I said, I think maybe grad school is in your future because how else do you do it? Except keep building your.
What about we're going to have to subsidize? That's
well.
Thing.
Now, to be fair, what you can do is
not live in Los Angeles
or
New
right,
York.
That's
or
right. Which is not an unhealthy thing necessarily. You know what I mean? Let's go live out in the main parts of the country where it's not fancy, and we just live
where they believe the Earth has been around for 3,000 years.
Well, that's a different.
You know what I mean?
So hard for me to deal with
so,
that stuff.
So anyways, these are the problems we go through. And the fact is, I love life. I love going out to the movies. I also deal with all the trauma and stuff going on in my life. And I think we just need to teach people that.
No, well, but Bob, they can't manage. You can't. Oh, man.
Okay, here's an example. I told a woman whose daughter's on drugs and she has no, she's completely a mess. She can't sleep at night.
Hang on a second. Susan,
whatever.
We have got to get Dan Siegel in here, even if it's by Skype.
But let me tell you what I told the mother to do.
He will blow your mind with this stuff.
I told the mother to do. I said, what did you used to like before she became a heroin addict? Yeah. And she started talking about art. I said, why don't you go to the local museum and just walk around?
Yeah, and nourish yourself.
Yeah, because
you need to
be
nourished.
Mask on yourself. People, the mask
the
on
oxygen
yourself.
Mask. When the airplane loses pressure, you put the oxygen mask on yourself before attempting to help somebody else. That,
people
that's
get
true.
Lost in it. My sister got lost in it. So
but
many
you're, we're drifting back into addiction now, but the fittedness that we have with other people, the rapport, what's called contingent reciprocity, the intersubjective experience is all broken down. It's not right now.
Well,
I just listened to a lecture by John Bowlby's son. You know who John Bowlby is?
No.
He's the guy that first theorized about attachment. Oh, you need to know.
Really?
You listen to those things I sent you. That email I sent you, you listen just right in order.
Well, Alan Shore, I know. I've read
Okay, we'll skip Alan Shore stuff, but it's in there. But the first one, do me a favor, in this order. First one, last one, third one. Listen in that order. And you'll
He's
be blown
talking
away.
About these
attachment
these things that he sent me emails. So,
but let me go back to me though, and about humor and stuff, which is the other thing people think I'm like the bummer guy, like I'm the don't do drugs guy. I'm not that
I
guy.
Know.
I'm the guy that helps people that want help when they can't stop doing something. I am much more, although I am not antisocial like you. I'm open minded, but I'm
you're rebellious.
But I'm more on the right side of the aisle than the left, but I'm progressive, if that makes sense.
Well, you believe in science.
So right. And so I get accused as being an asshole by both sides because I get to walk both sides of the line. And I can be persuaded. I have an open mind, so I can be persuaded of things. And by the way, I can be persuaded back. You know, I'm not super
flexible.
I'm flexible. I'm not super clear in all my beliefs. I want them to develop and evolve and change. And that's another thing. When you can't, maximum adaptability, maximum flexibility, maximum complexity, those are all parts of mental health.
Well, here's what I thought. Why were you able to teach me so much? Because you were raised by the same dad I was raised by. So when you started telling me, get a dictionary, you need to start learning this stuff. You need to stop saying fuck all the time.
You know what? I don't think I said, I think that was actually your dad.
You gave me a dictionary at Los Encinos.
Did I really?
Yeah, yeah.
A medical dictionary or a full-on dictionary?
A full-on dictionary.
Regular dictionary. Okay. I can see me doing that.
Because when I first got there, I'm working in a hospital with you and I'm saying fuck every other fourth word.
There's nothing wrong with fuck, just not every fourth word. Well, no, and the thing that we were trying to develop your judgment too, because
I identified with all the addicts.
Yeah. You saw it all as one thing, and it's a much more complicated phenomenon.
Well, now I see it as that.
And what?
Also,
more complex?
Much more complex. Yeah. And to the point where I think some people being labeled addicts aren't. They're just mentally ill.
Well, that's happening a lot these days.
It's crazy.
And tell them what you said the other day to me.
My test is. Yeah. True drug addicts want to be perceived as mentally ill because they see some benefit to
it. they can get drugs that way. You get medicine, you get pills.
Yeah.
That's why they want that.
But
by the way, they don't have to give up their drug of choice.
But people with chronic debilitating bipolar disorder or depression
or schizophrenia
want to be perceived only as addicts.
That's
and
right.
Don't want to take any medicine.
Isn't that weird?
It's insane.
Yeah, it's a weird backwards
thing.
And
so I can screen it out, and I'm like, going to some meetings and like reading a big book of AA is great, but it might not cure your bipolar disorder.
Your agitation, irritability, discontent.
So we're going to have Andy Dick on, who's always
Yeah, so we want to do a little bit of, harkening back to people we've been involved with in their treatment and stuff.
Some people are doing good, some people are doing bad, some people are dead. That's how addiction goes.
And I, just like if we were oncologists, and the frustrating part about addiction, though, is most of the ones that die because they move away from us. And by the way, we got blamed for deaths that blame. People want to take, us to task for like a Rodney King death who died of heart disease, everybody.
And the Mindy McCready thing was just
Mindy
crazy
was
to me.
Depression and all kinds of mental illness stuff.
Even know if the truth will ever come out about that.
Right. And here's what I do know, though. She was hospitalized right before she killed herself, and those people let her go home to a place where there were firearms. And we have to take responsibility for that.
She was in Arkansas.
It was terrible. It was
Let's
so
not even get me
awful.
Started about the guns.
Oh, it was so awful, though.
So you're right of center. What about the guns?
You know, anytime somebody wants to argue slippery slope with me about anything, I'm pissed. So when you say, I don't want to give up my automatic rifles and banana clips because it's a slippery slope. Pretty soon they're going to take away all our guns. No, shut the hell up then.
Yeah.
Let's be reasonable. It's okay to be a reasonable person.
There's too many guns, but to blame the mental health system every time a 12-year-old shoots a school up.
A lot of it is
mental
health.
But the mental health, I know a lot of those professionals that are working in those schools. There's nothing you can do. You can't prognosticate murder. You can prognosticate, well, this gets back to where are those kids supposed to be? The kid that did Sandy Hook. Where is he supposed to be? He's supposed to be in a mental hospital, people.
Right.
We used to have them.
Right.
But liberals wanted to get rid of them.
That's right. President Kennedy started a process of dismantling the state hospitals on a wonderful idea, which was, hey, now we have medication to make these people functional again. Who are we to hold them against their will for long periods of time? They needed to. And by the way, then One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out, mm-hmm. and that was the nail in the coffin. Then there was this, state hospitals are cruel and awful and draconian. And now what do we have?
Homeless populations
everywhere.
Of mentally ill
everywhere.
And school shootings every
you know,
week.
I got to tell you, I was on the radio once and I was talking to a kid who called in. And he said, you know, I'm out on the street now. No. This kid had called in and said, I'm driving a truck now. I'm doing great. I was homeless. And he goes, you know, I've got an idea. I got vocational rehab. He goes, I think I know what homeless people need. I think I know what they need. Well, first of all, they need drug treatment. We need to pull out the drug addicts. And then he said, and then everybody else, maybe even the drug addicts too, we need to put them in some sort of
job training.
Wait, no, listen. It's hysterical the way he described it. He goes, like a place, like a, maybe like a, look kind of like a hotel, but it doesn't have to be fancy, like a hotel. wait, hold on. Hotel. And I said, do they need to be like nurses? They need nurses. They need vocational rehab people. They need substance counselors and therapists and doctors.
It's a hospital.
I said, dude, that's a hospital. You're describing a hospital. Call it what you will. That's a hospital. And so fine, let's make it palatable, make them look nice and act nice and be nice. The whole approach we use these days is much more empathic and stuff. So it would be great, but it's expensive.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So I've looked, you know, I try to pay attention. Most people don't think I do, but I do, which is anytime I've seen the right and the left agree about something, something fucked up's going to happen. So the right and the left agreed that mental hospitals need to be abolished.
Yeah.
And something fucked up happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Now they're agreeing that drugs and the incarceration of drug addicts and decriminalization
and
of drugs.
And by the way, we got a little more
both
with
on
Joel,
the same,
Joel Blazer in the last episode, if you want to check that out.
You understand, though?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've seen that both sides are like, yes, it's the Rockefeller law is wrong. The Republicans, the conservatives, because of it costs so much to incarcerate people.
Right.
The liberals, because they want everybody to be free.
Right, that's right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
So we got another catastrophe coming.
Right, so we didn't get a chance to finish this conversation with Joel, but you were and I off air were equating the decriminalization or the legalization of all drugs with the removal of state
hospitals.
I think
it'll be the legalization of some drugs and the decriminalization of almost all drugs,
and that will result in people more on the streets. You think
more crime, more craziness?
Yeah.
And then we'll just call it homelessness.
Yeah,
and mental illness.
Well, if Colorado's any example, I mean, what happened with the marijuana stuff there, but I think what's going to happen in Colorado, watch, it's things get a lot worse, and then they will get a lot better.
That's because, what Joel thinks.
Because, well, I think he's right, because I think, well, let's let Colorado be the case study, because A, the administrative people in governments will get their head around what's happening. B, it will push a bunch of people into treatment that wouldn't have come to treatment because they start getting so sick so
accelerated,
fast. Accelerates things. People will learn about the deleterious effects because they'll start seeing them.
And
then
there'll
be
a cautionary tale.
A steady state will emerge that will be at a kind of rational level of use. If, you know, people want to use a little bit of this and that, whatever. It won't be accelerated the way it is now. Things are, the admission rates for marijuana as a primary or secondary drug are way up in Colorado. Way up. And you notice, and here's the crazy thing. Now, anyone who's pro-legalization will hear what I just said as attacking legalization. I'm not against legalization.
Yeah,
I'm just I'm in favor of helping people do what, you know what I mean. That's what I'm in favor of. Oh,
here
comes
we
somebody
go.
On
we got
Skype.
Somebody calling in. Is it Andrew P. Dick calling in?
Hold on. I'm having technical problems. Oh, technical problems, Susan Pinsky.
Technical problems. I see his name up there. Andy Dick, click on it.
I know, it's coming. It's just what happened was the computer died because that was under the couch and wasn't charging.
He's online 24 hours a day.
He's doing periscopes all the time. Yeah. While he's driving, he's doing them.
Oh, I know.
He's dancing in the periscopes.
All right, now. Let's have him call. Just wait until
it's done. So anyways, Andy, I've known him for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would break it? He's always lovable.
Yeah.
He's always fun to be around. He's always sober majority of the time. You know that, don't you?
No, I do.
He is the example of somebody when they're loaded, you know it.
Oh, yeah. It's dangerous. Is this the great Andy?
Andy, Jim? Andy, Andy. There you are. I was just talking about you.
Hey, buddy.
You know what I said, Andy? Listen. Listen to this. Andy is one person that you know is sober majority of the time, the whole time I've known you, 20 years, 15 years. And when you're not, you find out pretty quickly. Because something pops up.
And that's the only part people remember.
Yeah, I know. But it scares the shit out of me when you get that way, my friend.
I mean, now, here, I'm going to hold
on. Are you in Malibu? Are you up in the Malibu colony?
Yeah. Look,
oh, yeah, Cross Creek.
Yeah, Cross Creek.
Will you go over to Sun Life and order me a $1 million smoothie for $16.95? A smoothie that costs $16.95.
Right. I know, $1 million smoothie. Why don't I order you a hot 21-year-old little hottie?
He's been living in Malibu too long.
Well, I'm so glad you opened with that, Andy, because Bob said the following thing about you. He said, you know, Andy, we love him. He's wonderful to be around. But he hasn't changed that much in treatment. Listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you, my friend. Yeah. I've always had a deep instinct that sex addiction laid under a lot of this.
Oh, and you look at his eyeballs.
No, it's cutting out.
And you open with the 21-year-old hottie stuff, and it makes
me. You know what? By the way, I rewrote it in my head. I was going to say 18.
Oh, my goodness.
So
you know those girls at Sun Life, it's just a bunch of hot girls.
He's referring to the marketing campaign of my friend Khalil.
They put you in a trance. You're like, I'll take 3 milkshakes, please.
What I love, though, is that he's completely deflected my comment.
their milkshakes really do bring all
this. He's not going near it.
I am not kidding. Those girls there are Andy, so... you're the one that brought it up. It's right there. I'm passing right
Andy,
by.
Andy, I'll soften it for you. Do you think you're a love addict, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you go through periods where you're love orexic.
Well, I love that term. I've never heard it. What does it mean? And I'm probably
love avoid, which is sort of typical of love addicts.
Oh yeah.
A cycle.
Yeah. And here's what it is. And you just I just figured this out. That's why I love you guys. You guys are really my two of my favorite people ever. And I'm glad that you're on my team right now because I don't know if you know this, but on the 22nd, that's next week, like 11/22/1122. That's my year.
Oh, wow, my God. There you go.
Good for
another,
you.
Another one of those.
Malibu's been very good to you, my friend.
Yeah, I know. But this one's a good one because it's not like having that ankle thing where I was just biting my lip and gripping the side of the table and cursing that ankle thing. And as soon as the ankle thing
came
off, I went right
to the bar. See, that to me is healthy.
I agree, but relationship chaos is always in the middle of Andy's stuff. Right, Andy?
Speaking of, I'm on my way to pick the bitch up right now.
See?
Let me tell you something about Andy.
I didn't want to tell you that.
He's been out there for a year.
Yeah.
I call it La La Land.
Yeah.
It's like La La Land.
Yeah.
It's not reality. Malibu's not reality, Andy.
Well, I ain't living. I'm not moving. I decided.
That's all right.
No, I really am not. I'm not. I love it.
It's working for him.
Me sober.
Yeah.
I go to the beach every day. For 2 hours, 3 hours, I should be there right now.
Some people work, Andrew.
But my penis is driving the car right now. Some people work. I know. You know, let's look into that in a little bit.
Well, you know what? Listen, in that little bit, I went and saw an improv that Andy did. It was tremendous.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You could so easily go do stuff, you know, all over. I mean,
I'm taking this thing where this whole year I've been like, I don't think or concentrate on work or having to bring home the bacon, you know, make the money and all that.
Yeah.
Because thank God for Greg Hanley and Soba. They've really been taking care of me, and I live right across the street from the beach and all that. But I do go on stage to keep those claws sharp, and I go on almost every week.
Okay,
and
good.
Yeah, and that's I tell good. People, you know, it's going to be a 20-minute show. An hour and a half later, they're still sitting there staring at me smiling, and I'm like, I guess I'll just keep talking.
Andy, I'm going to pay you a compliment right now. I love comedy. You know I love comedy. I've loved comedy my whole life. You are one of maybe four people that when I see you, I feel like laughing, like smiling, because the joy that you like to bring into people's lives.
Oh, that's sweet. But I'm funny looking.
But you know
how
what?
Dare you?
You know what? Who some of the other people are? Chris was one of the other people like that. Chris Farley.
Oh, Chris Farley.
Oh yeah. He and I really connected on that level.
Doesn't that frighten you?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, very much.
You know
so.
What I'm talking about, Drew? Those people that you just like, I love that guy. That guy's so funny. It brings your
delight.
Around your eye.
Yeah,
you
delight.
Just feel
joy.
Like a joy and a lightness.
Yeah.
And
thank
one
you.
Of those
and that,
people.
Yeah,
and that's why I don't really have to, and I don't feel like I have to really worry about a job, which I do mostly, like before this whole year of self-care. It's been a year of solid self-care.
Is part of your self-care dyeing your eyebrows?
No, I don't dye them.
Okay, they look rather blonde.
Oh, no, that's literally the 2 hours on the beach. I'm not kidding every day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little off today because I have not gone yet.
Yeah.
And I'm because I'm going to see my girl, which I didn't want to tell you. I can't follow my
thoughts. It's all right, you told me. It's all right. I just worry about
that. Skype's breaking up. His periscope is breaking up.
I know. I worry about there's three areas I worry about, Andy.
I worry that Andy's going to be a father like Tony Randall at 78 years old.
Oh, that's going to happen. But
Did you see how quickly Drew said, for sure that's going to happen?
Yeah, that makes
Andy,
sense.
Andy, you can't have children at 78.
Says who?
Yeah. So I worry about the sex and love addiction. I worry about him periscoping and driving.
As you see, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the road. I'm very responsible periscope driver.
Okay, we're Skype driving.
Skype driving.
Watch out, guy! I'm watch out!
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
And then I worry about him out and about sometimes.
You know, drinking?
Yeah.
Out and about? What do you mean?
I don't know. Whenever I hear you're out and about, I go, oh.
Like if you get away from L.A., remember you used to go away to go do a show, and then you'd end up drinking.
That's weird that you mentioned that because
he's going out of town on.
Well, Ben Stiller is. I'm about to turn 50 next month. Okay,
happy
55
birthday,
next
buddy.
Month. I know.
Cool.
Well, next month, but Ben Stiller and I we're 1 month apart. He's turning 50 next week, and I'm supposed to go to New York. Does anybody want to go with me? I'm dead serious. I kind of need a sober companion because Greg doesn't want to go.
Is he having a party or something?
Yeah, and I'm invited. It's me plus one. Come on. Does somebody want to go? Otherwise, I'm going to go by myself. And there's a lot of alcohol.
What about your
son?
I thought you and your son were running buddies, sober buddies.
Do they still have alcohol in New York City?
Yeah.
They have alcohol in
certain parts.
Yeah.
You guys, who's coming with me? For
real. Your son. I thought he was your roommate.
What about your son?
They all hate me.
They do not. He's your roommate.
Everybody hates me.
Why? Why?
The world is turning their back on me. So all year I didn't really work, right? I was saying no to everything, but I did 5 projects that I couldn't say no to. Ben Stiller's Zoolander 2, Judd Apatow's Netflix show, his
good.
New show. And he just texted me and said they edited my thing and it's awesome. It's
good.
Like a whole thing. I mean, and I just did Workaholics. I did Comedy Bang Bang
good.
And I did Marc Maron.
Good.
So I did like 5 solid projects that weirdly enough are all going to come out at about the same time, so it's going to look to people like I
you're
did all this in
across
one.
The stars.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but really it took all year.
You had Maron's TV show or Maron? Because you were on
TV
Maron's
show.
Oh, that one already aired.
Yeah.
That's the one that already aired, but all the rest are coming out.
Let me ask you this. Is your son your roommate still in sober living?
Yeah. Yes. And not only that, he's a tech.
Well, why can't he go with you?
He doesn't. I'm not kidding. They don't want to. You know who could go is my daughter. She's 18, but she's a little spitfire.
She's not a sober person. I met her. She's not a sober person.
No. That's my point. Why, no, Lily, you're not answering me. Why don't one of you
go?
Well,
I was just thinking, I just sort of couldn't pull it off, but I know Ben. Ben did not invite me, and so I'm now insulted.
Here we go now.
So I don't know Ben.
No. How about this? I don't know Ben, but I bet you I could get an invite.
What's that, Andy? What's that?
Oh, shit, it's cutting out.
I hear you.
What were you going to say? I'm inviting both of you because I have a plus one, so... Hang on, it cuts
it'd be,
out right
But it'd
here,
be weird if I went after Malibu. Having not been invited. You know what I mean?
No, I would just, you know, when I hear about things like that, I just go and people think you were invited. It's true.
No, can you guys hear me again?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, because I was just passing by Big Rock. That was where I went to Promises twice, and I think they put a block on it. So.
That's pretty funny.
Did you go to the Promises sober living on the beach with the
polo?
The fancy thing?
No, Greg did, though.
$20,000 a month for sober living.
I know. They sucked Greg Hanley dry, and that's one of the reasons he started his own empire, basically. He's got an empire with Soba, which is, I honestly love Soba. I can't talk about them enough.
Did you ever drink or do drugs with George Carlin?
No, but, you know, Greg Hanley was George Carlin's roommate.
I know.
No, I didn't, but I met him, and I met him right when he was sobering up.
Oh, that's the first time you ever met him?
Yeah.
You know the story of George Carlin, right?
No,
used for 50 years, got sober, did one last stand-up thing, and died.
Whoa.
And his last stand-up is so profound. He has the thing about stuff. We got to buy stuff. We got to get stuff.
Okay, well,
and then
the stuff thing is an old thing. He's had
but
that
that's right. In his last monologue. Did you see that thing, Andy?
Yeah, I did. It was phenomenal.
It was
and
really
was
amazing.
Thinking,
it
was
wasn't
thinking.
Even comedy. It was life.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about all my stuff I've had over the years. I was going through stuff today because we got mold in our closet over here. And
you got some stuff, I'll bet.
Yeah, what do you? What got you? What cut through?
Well,
you?
I just had to, like, take all the stuff out of the closet. What is this fucking stuff? And then I had to put it all back in the closet. I'm like, why am I moving it in and out of the closet? Why don't I just move it into the dumpster? I don't.
But did the stuff trigger any memories or anything? Or anything emotional? Stuff. Andy, did the...
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was looking at the ocean for a second. Yes, it did. It triggers all kinds of...
He was driving, Skyping, and looking at the ocean.
I know. So go ahead. Tell me what you reacted to. What was the strongest feeling?
Oh, and everything. You know, the one thing that... The biggest thing that's triggering for me is how I can see very clearly, and you're going to... I can hear you telling me this already, is the cycles. You know, I have a year sober. Now I'm in a relationship that's already rocky and I'm worried and I feel like I'm way deep in it.
So Andy, if you were to stand back and you were to talk to yourself about what is the thing that seems to get in the way of your sustained sobriety, looking at these cycles, what's the one thing?
The bad relationships.
Okay.
I know, but I can't get.
He doesn't have a lot of sycophants around him like he used to.
No, I know. That's
really
good.
I'm defending you, Andy.
Oh, he cut out. This time he really cut out. Okay. Let's get him back.
Can you hear?
Then we got you back. Go ahead.
Did you see? Did you hear me say I can't just cut my dick off and say to hell with it? I'm 50 years old. This might be my last hurrah.
Andy, you know, I have got, I know exactly where to send you now. I know I've got the perfect therapist for you.
Do not send me somewhere else.
No, it's not a sending you. It's a connecting you up with.
With how many fucking doctors am I going to have to see for the rest of my life? I'm 50. I'm halfway there. Can I be done with doctors? You two are you're the be all end all. I'm done with the buck stops here.
Yeah, but
here.
Andy, here's
my doctors.
No. Yeah. Andy, here's the deal. Here's where your boundary shit gets in the way.
What is this guy doing? What is he doing?
Oh, I know. I hate that the bicyclists think that they are cars now.
They just ride
in the lane.
You have a bike lane, sonny boy. I can say sonny.
We're digressing. You're going to be 50. Boy, you can say sonny boy. Yeah. What's the average?
You know what? I'm going in the handicap lane.
What's the average age of the clients at Soba the whole year you've been there? 25? You're like,
I'm like the old man.
I'm back to being hurt that Ben Stiller didn't invite me.
Oh my
party.
Goodness, here
but,
we go.
But here, listen.
Oh, I'm dead serious. Who's coming with me? If you don't come with me, I'm telling you.
Well, obviously Drew's going.
No, it's next weekend. I can't pull it off.
Next weekend?
We'll go for one day because I have to be on stage in LA the next day. So it's Saturday night. We're back Sunday day.
Why don't you just send a card?
I want to go. No, this is like work.
Yeah, I know it is.
It's like work, and I really want to go.
Yeah,
I really do.
I get it. My
and you only turn 50 once, man. This is a big one. We also had big 40th birthday parties each. So this will be the next one 10 years later. Can we do it, Dr. Drew, please?
I'm contemplating, but let me. I want to get back to what I was talking about, which was, and now I forgot. I was getting it.
You were going to get him a therapist for his love addiction.
No, I do have the perfect place for you. Oh, I know what it was. I said your boundary shit is even getting in the way with us. We are part of the problem. I won't speak on your behalf.
But he does it to everybody.
But hang on. Let me speak on your behalf. We are your friends who also happen. We treated you at one time. We are now your friends who happen to be doctors and be therapists.
You're right. What's your friendly advice?
But the point is you need somebody who can maintain boundaries that friends don't always maintain. You know what I mean?
I already know what they're going to say. They're going to say, you know, get rid of the girl. I'm not going to do that. I don't know what love is, but I really like having sex with her or like being with her. Okay. I'm really excited right now to pick her up at the airport.
Why don't you do me? Here's some friendly advice. This is what this therapist I'm thinking about, who I think would be fantastic for you, told me the other day. She has people do that are in this contemplative phase. She says, go to some SLA meetings and just listen.
He's been to them.
You've been to SLA meetings?
I've been to them, and everybody there wants to hook up. So it's just to find somebody.
That's your perception.
It's the worst.
Go there and have no intention of any of that.
It's not my perception. It's the reality. Everybody there has a sex and or love addiction. We're all looking at each other going, oh, that person loves to fuck too. Let's get to it.
I've heard this before, Drew. I hate to say that.
That's why you need a therapist.
In NA, they say, look, we're not interested in your connections. I'm like, well, everyone's looking around going, oh, God, I used to sell to him, and I used to buy from him. And it's the same thing. Oh, my God, look at this, by the way. I'm chasing my house. Here it is.
Your house.
It's my old shed. The shed I used to live in.
I remember when Andy told me he moved from the, what,
look at there.
Oh, there's the shed. There it is.
What are you doing? Where are you moving my shed to? Jesus Christ.
What was it? You said one time to me you moved from the garage to the shed or something? What was it?
In Silver Lake?
Yeah. It was that.
In
I was
Silver Lake?
In the garage. No, Topanga.
He goes, Topanga. I'm so happy I moved from the garage to the shed.
Because the kids didn't want you in the house?
No, I didn't want it.
Everybody else got to live in the house. There was like 9 people living in the house. Andy's living in the shed. Right?
Oh, I liked it. Yeah,
you know what that's an example of? Like Public Enemy, you had too much posse. You had to move into the garage.
Yeah, but the posse.
I wanted to be alone.
Half of those posses had his jeans in them, though. That's the problem. The other half had his penis in them, I think.
Oh, lordy.
Am I right?
Was Topanga a love fest?
Don't worry about it. No, at that point, it was just the family in the house and then me in the shed. I just wanted a man cave where I could watch TV and movies and drink. I was drinking.
Oh, okay. Oh, now it makes sense.
That's what it was.
Okay. That's what it was.
And then I would drink, and then I would sneak, because we were on 3 acres. I would sneak down the side of the hill, jump over the fence, and that's when I wound up wandering into somebody's house that I thought was having a wine party, but it was just like a couple and their 90-year-old mother.
But Andy, you get very.
Did you get arrested for that?
No, you can hear the 911 call. What does he look like? And they're like, he looks like Andy Dick. Yeah, looks like Andy Dick.
Like a well-to-do what?
Just a well-to-do man with glasses. We're not afraid of him, but he just wandered into
our house. You liked that description, didn't you, Andy?
I said, oh, God, I guess I had my shit together.
Look at how he's beaming.
Happy about it. But Andy, you again, I'm adding a fourth thing to my fears about you. You get very sneaky. Very sneaky.
Andy, let's just project out forward. What if this thing ends up not, the relationship comes to an end? Then what?
Well, it will. That's my point.
The natural history.
Character. Yeah, then what?
I mean, it's... well, I know. That's my point.
Then
what,
back to not... SLA meetings to find hookups. No.
You just gave you this.
Yeah, you know what? Where are you?
No. Then I'm going to send you to this therapist. I really, all kidding aside.
I'll go, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't imagine anything that can tell me that I don't already know.
No. It's the quality. Listen, 90% of the outcomes that therapists get have to do with not the technique they use, but the qualities that the therapist brings to the clinical situation. And she's got so much talent. I'm serious.
What do you mean by that? I'll go see her. I'll go see her this week.
Andy's going to try to hook up with her, just the way you described that.
Of course, she's hot.
Well, of course, that will be his impulse. But listen.
You know, let me tell you something. One of my motivations to stay sober is my case manager is hot as hell. Oh,
Jesus. Here you go. You're going to make Drew's head explode. There's a thing called too much honesty.
No. This is why I'm not his doctor. This is why I can't deal. I'm his friend.
You're trying to hook up with your counselor.
No, I'm not trying. I know it's just always right there.
You could if you want.
But listen, but here's the deal. But that's fine.
Look at his face.
No, but listen, that's his. But you guys, listen. Seriously.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't watch this. Oh,
that is your. Really? That is his pathology, right?
Yeah.
And so her job is to hold a boundary.
How
so
did he achieve such lovableness? Because most people like him are really repulsive. But he's so lovable.
What are you talking about?
You are lovable, and most people like you are repulsive.
They're repulsive. What do you mean by that?
Always shaking and moving and grooving and jiving.
Me.
No, not you.
I'm saying you, in the way that you look at every girl as a mark. You know what I mean? Hot, not hot. You must just go through the day. Hot, not hot. Hot,
guys,
not
do
hot.
That. It's not just me. Guys do that. Don't say it's just me.
But
adolescent guys do that.
Okay, I'm an adolescent. I am. I know that. I'm trying to grow. But wait, what are you talking about? They're not my exes and my girlfriend. They're gorgeous.
I know. I'm saying that. I'm saying people with your personality and characteristics.
Because you know why? Going
hot, not hot. Usually repulsive, but you're lovable.
No, most people with Andy's stuff are usually
make me sick and alienate me.
But they're also usually very narcissistic, and Andy's narcissism is not of that nature.
It's benign narcissism.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's more on the codependency end. It's like a reverse narcissism.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So we got that straight, Andy. That's why I like you, and I don't like all the people that go to SLA. I dealt with a lot of them. A lot of people we know.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, not really.
It's breaking up a little bit.
It really looks like a Van Gogh painting.
Is it better now?
Yeah, better.
Okay. Because it got cut out of the tunnel. I just got out of the PCH. But anyhow, you guys hit on it right away in the beginning of the conversation where there really is something to that. This whole year, and I tried very hard to, I pushed love away. I had this horrible breakup, then I have a love affair with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And then I push them all away, and I try to learn how to be okay being alone.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, someone's going to just plop into my life where I accidentally fall in love again.
I get that, and that's you're describing love addiction writ large, and that's the codependency thing that Bob see because anti-sex addiction is mostly manifest as love addiction, right? And that's why you're.
Yeah.
And
he likes doing it.
No, I understand, but it's
who doesn't?
No, I understand, but it's
who doesn't?
But like most women that have sex addiction, it's through love addiction that they come to the sex addiction. And Andy, the whole notion though, that I've been on you a little bit about this is you take a year and you grow without the love addiction being active, just the way you take a year without doing drugs and alcohol, and you grow in different ways.
I try, but I met this girl in okay. the treatment
center. Right. Well, fantastic. So much the better.
He stayed in sober living all this year.
No, listen, I love what he's been doing this year. I'm just saying that
and so did she.
Oy vey. And you know, so he's got a using buddy in treatment, essentially, is what you're saying. You know.
Is she in a different condo or a whole different outpatient program?
Yeah, a whole
program?
Different one.
A whole different one.
Yeah, we don't get to. That's another thing that's helping it last and work is that I don't get to see her as much as my addiction would like. I would like to live with her.
Yeah.
I'd like to live with her, wake up, have sex.
Right.
Go to
bed, do you see how that enmeshment, that boundarylessness, is the same thing I was addressing here with us and you?
Yeah, you know, what the fuck am I supposed to do about it?
Well, that's why I'm suggesting
just
treatment.
Slow down and enjoy life for a while.
Bob, you know what? I was in the shower today thinking how I was going to... I was hoping to see you guys. I'm sorry that my addiction took over and my dick is driving to the airport. To pick up my
you know what? Anyway, I'm just glad you spent some time with us. It's always fun.
I was going to say that in the shower, I thought one thing, just one sentence Bob said one time, when I was listening to him speak at Pasadena Recovery Center, when he was leading those groups. Remember, I was leading groups too.
Yeah, it was great.
That was fun. But you had this one. You're like, you know what? Sometimes I just don't drink or use because I don't want to be a client in one of these facilities again.
Yeah, there's varying motivations to keep you straightened out.
It keeps evolving, is what it.
Sometimes I want to survive. Sometimes I just don't want to be a patient. Sometimes I want to thrive. I mean, sometimes I want to keep my job. But you got to keep the positive motivation outweighing the love of the drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, and so far that's been.
And I wish you could connect the next dot, which is I need to stay sober for my love addiction, so all this other shit doesn't happen to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so
exactly
let's go through what's going to happen.
I am doing that.
Yeah,
let's go through what's going to happen because I've dealt with I've
you,
treated,
hang on a second.
Treated
a
lot
wait,
of
wait.
Sex addicts.
But Andy, you're doing everything as it pertains to that except not practicing love and sex addiction. You're actively engaged.
No, I am because I can't just jump ship now.
All right, I know. I know.
To my eyeballs with this girl.
Yeah, I get it.
But let me ask Andy. So you're going to see her for the first time in a few days right now, I imagine?
Yeah.
So are you gonna have sex in the car?
Oral sex?
No.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Hand job.
We're gonna go somewhere.
Are you gonna go to a hotel pretty close by?
Doesn't matter where we go.
Stop asking questions. Was that?
He's in the back seat.
Oh my god.
No, that's not where we're gonna go. No, I was just making a joke.
No,
but that does sometimes.
You can't. You're not gonna go back to Malibu. You're not gonna go back to Malibu. You're gonna go to a hotel.
Says who?
You're going back to Malibu? Look at his face. He's got a secret right now.
What's your point?
Yeah, what's the point?
I want to know how compulsed you are to have sex immediately upon seeing her.
How long can you make it?
So what?
How many minutes can you make it without engaging?
The drive back to Malibu.
Okay. Yeah. 30 minutes.
I love you, Andy Dick.
Progress, not perfection, my friend.
Exactly.
All right, Andy, we're going to – let's now that we're done sort of looking
treating
at
me.
Well, we're not treating you. We're
giving
just
me friendly advice.
Shake
okay,
it off.
Two things before you forget. Before you forget, two things. Give me that name of that stupid woman.
You know what? I'm gonna. Well, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to a website called the centerforhealthysex.com.
Right. Yeah,
centerforhealthysex.com.
It's got the word sex in it, Andy.
As soon as I type in, it's going to have all my history from all
the
my
porn.
Sites.
porn.
I want you to dig.
I'm going to get sidetracked with my porn sites.
Yeah. I want you to dig around a little bit on it and see what you think there. That there's that, number one. And number two.
Probably not going to do that. But if you give me one name of one person, I'll go.
All right, we'll talk
about
it. Let's talk about it. I'm not
number
sure if you're
two,
ready.
Number two, I'm not fucking kidding.
New York.
It's in 2 weeks. We have to go.
Two weeks.
It's on the 20th. We have to leave on like the 20th.
Back
on
the 21st.
Back.
I'm in Holland. Yeah. I can't go.
I think I got something going on.
I'm going to Holland.
Bob is touring
Drew
the world.
Drew can go.
You want me to go?
Sure.
I really want you to go.
You're going to take Drew? And
we're going.
Do you know what a great message that sends out to every... That's like the business trip just went up. It's
no,
like,
I'm going with you on that weekend.
Say it again?
To judge Mr. Nevada.
Yes.
It's not necessary if you need to be with Andy.
Well, we can arrange this off.
Yeah,
off
let's talk off.
Text
off,
later.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. This is fucking awesome. Yeah, because Greg all of a sudden he couldn't wait to go to Rome. Now when I'm like, can we go to New York? I really would love a sober companion. Nah, I don't feel like it. What?
I don't know that I could be a sober.
Other fan. People do have other lives.
That's
Andrew.
A different story.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is a big one, and it's a big move, and we got to do it.
All right, we're going
to do it.
But the other thing I want to say is how happy I am for you. You've had such a great year, and I wish many, many more. I
congrats.
Really do. Yeah, you're really
you.
Doing great. And
Sorry I couldn't be there in person, but I love you guys. I'm not kidding. You're two of my favorite people ever in the world. Can't wait to see you and hug you.
All right. See you soon.
Done and done, buddy. All right, sign
hasta
off.
La vista.
Talk to you soon.
Go, bye. Go at it.
Enjoy your afternoon.
Shut up.
There you have it. He has the back made up into a bed.
I know. The back of his car had all the necessary elements right there.
So tell everybody about Kathy Griffin's program last night.
Yeah, it was a couple nights. It wasn't last night. It was some time ago. But to Kathy Griffin, we went to see her stand-up. What specifically do you want to talk about?
The part about Andy Dick program.
I remember his name came up a couple times. I don't remember what she said.
The least likely
her.
To stay alive.
Oh yeah, she in the program when you open the program, you know, like a playbill.
Yeah, yeah.
She has all these different categories in there.
Her triggers
and things, and one was least likely to stay alive, which had Andy at the top. Who else was in there?
I don't know. I can go get it, but it was pretty funny. He's still alive.
Well,
it
wasn't funny.
Oh, he's doing good.
Yeah.
No, Andy's happy
he's not
to be
doing
alive.
Great. So that's what people don't understand about all this celebrity rehab stuff. People are doing all right. They're still in the mix of it, still trying to fight it, still trying to figure it out. Some are doing better than others.
We got to check in with a whole bunch of them. Some are, we got to check with. Yeah, I mean, there's some that are just so exciting, so phenomenal. Jennifer Ketchum is becoming a psychologist.
I know that.
She was a porn star. She's becoming a psychologist. Amazing.
Can't we find somebody from celebrity rehab? Maybe find somebody from celebrity rehab to go with Andy.
Well, there's, you know, the ones that
Amber.
I know that are doing good are
yeah.
too busy to go. And then the ones
what
that
about Amber?
Doing good.
Amber would be good for him.
Would she go?
She might. And they were very friendly.
I think you could confront Ben when you're there. You've hurt my feelings.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. don't you worry about that. Happy birthday, Ben. Why didn't you invite me to this goddamn thing? So I think I know why, but I want to just chat a little more, because you said to me that you were something you're thinking about in the shower this morning. That's when I do my best thinking.
Oh, I forget what it was.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about crazy stuff in the shower. Yeah, but because I'm just waking up and I'm free associating and I'll have like insights and things.
Well, it's always about what to do. Because I'm been in this with life, and that's why I like this life. So if you recall, post celebrity rehab, I was winding down. My son was 22 years old. I was single.
People don't know you have two kids.
Yeah.
Adult child and a baby child.
And it looked like our tenure at Los Encinas was going to end. And I just thought, I'm going to live minimally. And
You know what? People don't even know really what our history is.
What?
Together.
That we worked together for years and years and years?
Well, how it all got started and stuff, but I'll tell the next pod. We worked together for years and years at a psychiatric hospital. Yes.
So I was winding down. Then this, you know, this whole situation came up and fell in love and had a family and all this kind of stuff. And it's gotten, and now it's shifted again. And life keeps constantly shifting, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the play is that you and me get the band back together. You know, that's why I had you meet with Ron and all that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
treatment again.
We got to get the band back together.
I think about that all the time.
I just can't figure out a way to make it work because treatment sucks so bad.
Yes, there's no structure within which for us to do it a way that would work. That's the problem.
The further we get away from Los Encinas,
yeah.
that was 7 years ago. 6 years
five,
ago. Five.
Yeah.
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 The further we get away from there, the greater I realize that treatment was.
I know.
That was real treatment.
I know. I call it Camelot. We had a Camelot. We had wonderful staff.
You know how expensive
dedicated
it is to assemble a team like that?
It doesn't exist.
You can't have a rehab like that.
Right, because it'd be too costly. And
yeah.
we charged,
nothing,
everyone there
nothing.
Made no money. Everybody made no
I
money.
I made $16 an hour when I started.
Yeah, I made at best like $30,000 a year or something like that. Out of it, and no
it
one made
so
any money.
Good.
The hospital
the
made money. The hospital made money, but none of the professionals did.
So I've still been in the industry. I've still at rehab centers constantly. The one Andy's at, and whatever. The techs at Los Encinas knew more about addiction than the therapists at rehab centers nowadays.
Yes, and the nurses especially also a
it's
lot
amazing.
More. A lot more, yeah.
And so I keep thinking, like, how do we figure out a way
God,
to
you
have
know
a great
who wanted
treatment
to...
center?
Did you? You came and spoke to me. We spoke to the first year medical students like a year ago. And do you remember the tech we had that went to medical school? She wanted to come and be a part of that presentation. We did it this year. I couldn't get it done. What was her name?
It's Carlson's daughter, right? Or no? Mm-hmm. Carlson's granddaughter.
No, it wasn't closely that aligned, but she became an ENT and she's still in residency now. But I spoke at her graduation, it turned out, for the SC Medical School. I forget her name.
Yeah, Lonnie Kai is a doctor, a psychologist.
In any event, but she became a physician.
I know.
She was a surgeon.
I know.
Remember her? She was always afraid of Dr. Horasti.
Yeah.
What was her name? God damn it. Her sister
there.
Was my kid's third grade teacher.
Oh, you're
that's was my connection with her.
There were so many great people there that. And part of it was out of hospitals where you learn to train for medicine, right? So people were there learning while they're...
Yeah.
Now it's
also
just,
where you see really sick people and you understand it as sickness. You understand the spectrum.
And you have different...
Yeah, presentations.
Yeah.
The full spectrum. And we specialized in treating the sickest of the sick.
So there's no
the
places
thing.
Like that anymore.
No. Nobody can handle what we can handle. No way. Maybe Monsignor can kind of still do it a little bit, but they didn't have the same approach that we do.
So anyways, that's what I just wondered if you're in, if we can figure it out, are you in?
I think...
Because I'll just move to Joshua Tree and play music.
If we don't do it.
With you. We got to figure out a way.
Well, you know, this little podcast was sort of my first little attempt at it. This is a way for us to kind of push out good information. Because for me, it's not just about us doing the work one case at a time. It's about changing the culture. That's why you and I agreed doing celebrity rehab for that. Try to
change
people's
the culture.
Yeah.
But what made me think of it again is when you were referring him to the therapist she just needs to be one component of a whole team.
I know.
I know. And I'm doing that with addiction, which is primary with don't use and that type of thing. But the full smorgasbord.
Too expensive now. And there's no one to pay for it. That's the bottom line. And that's even without us being paid. That's if we made nothing.
I know. All my business plans are I make nothing.
I know. Me too. Because it's almost a calling. So Bob and I have some advice for people looking for treatment. My own advice is Hazelden-related programs, Hazelden. They're things you can rely on.
Mine is Acadia Malibu. This is rehab I'm associated with. You call out there. And they'll help you find something.
Acadia, not Arcadia, but
Acadia, like the Acadians, like up in Canada.
Interesting. And I you also heard me call it just during the Andy interview. The CenterForHealthySex.com is a great program for sex addiction. Yeah. Great website. Also,
and you
sash.
Can always
.net.
Go to the back of your insurance card and just call the 1-800 number and see who's in your network. It's called.
The bottom line is get started. Just get going.
Do something.
The probability is the first treatment is not going to stick. That's just the way it works.
Don't Google search.
Yeah.
Don't get your health care from a Google search.
Yep. Anyway, we got to wrap it up. We'll do another one of these.
It's
This Life with Bob Forrest and Dr. Drew. We'll see you next time.
This is a real life. Oh, this is the only one you get. This does not repeat.